to come. You ever seen a police car or a fire truck? Let's talk about fire trucks. We don't talk about police cars. What does a fire truck do? When you're standing and you're watching a fire truck go by, it sounds like it's a siren. What does the siren do? It goes high and then it goes low. So today, our radio operators in the far corner here are trying to adjust for that. That's something called Doppler. And it was discovered 170 years ago by a man by the name of Christian Doppler. And I'm going to introduce you to the radio team right now. I'll get them to identify themselves, and they can see what they're doing here today.
My name is Carolyn Kennedy, and I'll be operating the radio to make the initial contact with the ISS. My call sign is DA3WYZ.
Steve Regan, I'm the backup radio operator, and will be operating the computer. Call sign DA3MGY.
DA3MGY is our call sign today. In radio, you have to have a call sign to go on the air. The space station today is NA1SS, which is November Alpha 1 Sierra Sierra. And Sunita will probably try and contact us using those call signs. I have somebody else here. Greg, is he?
Yeah, I'm Greg Noy here. I am an antenna specialist, and I help set up the equipment. And my call sign is Victor Alpha 3, India Tango Bravo.
We also have a few more, even from NRC. David.
Hi, I'm Dave Scobie, and I'm doing the webcast, and my call sign is Victor Alpha 3, Alpha Echo.
And Art.
Hi, I'm Art. I'm also from NRC. I'm doing your video, and my call sign is Victor Echo 3, Juliet Golf Whiskey.
And my call sign is VE3TBD, Tango Bravo Delta, although some people think TBD stands for the Big Dummy. I don't agree. Anyway, that goes to show you how many amateur radio people are involved in this. And all of them are incredibly talented people with a lot of education, a lot of schooling. That's what it takes. Sure, let's do that. Steve, do we have a handheld radio there?
Is there someone who would like to see what it would be like to talk into the microphone as the Space Kids will be doing? Brenda? Okay, come on up. Who else would like to give it a try? Okay, would you like to try right here? Okay, come on out.
Can we have some audio from the radio?
Okay, and who else would like to give it a try? Okay, you can come on up right here.
So what we're doing now, when you talk on this, you're going to be talking on the same frequency as the space station, and here's, when they talk to us, here's how it will sound. You can just give me a five count, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I'll put a bit louder.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Have you got that up? The volume up? You're receiving on 145.800. Try it again.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
There we go. That's better. Okay. All right. One more time.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
And anything you want to say.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, come on. Something different.
Okay, Yellow Bar Haven is the best. Steve? No, no, go through a couple more.
Bar Haven.
Say something about Bar Haven.
Bar Haven is cool. Hello.
All right, you guys can go sit down. Thank you. Good job.
Just one more quick explanation. What you see up here? Lower, lower, lower. We're going to take a minute break and a couple of minutes break in just for a few seconds. What you see up here is a space station. That's its position over Canada right now. It's moving very fast. It's just out on the Pacific Ocean. It's approaching Vancouver Island. And in about 8 minutes, it's going to be over Ottawa. That's how fast it's moving. Now, if you want to add anything, I think we should take a couple of minute break right now.
And so, boys and girls, if you'd like to stand up and give a stretch, you've been a really good audience, and we need you to be perfectly quiet for the contact. So now's the time to chat with your friends.
Hey, how are you?
I never have time.
Are they here?
Oh, yeah, they're here. Judy Scottsworth and...
they're the ones at the back?
Yeah.
Came in? Well, there's other people who came in too.
But
I didn't, yeah. I didn't know that. You didn't give them the update at the time.
So you have 11:47 bomb clock call?
Okay, let's start.
I think it's getting settled down.
Okay, everybody, please take your seats. Barhaven Project, please take your seats.
Okay, could I have everyone move up, and people at the back who are on chairs, feel free to move your chairs up. We're going to bring everybody up so you're a little bit closer. So you can come right up. Okay, stop there. Stop there, that's good.
Okay, let's settle down.
Okay, we need the aisle in the center. We need the aisle in the center. So you'll have to move over, you guys, to stay a bit.
Okay, students of Barhaven, please, voice down, please. Your voice down. I have to ask you a real big favor now. We have to keep it quiet from here on for another 15 minutes. It's very quiet. During the time we talk to the astronaut and when she's answering, we must keep it very quiet. Yeah, and if you have any PDAs or cell phones or wireless devices, we'd appreciate it if you could mute them or turn them off if possible. That'd be great. There's always that possibility of interference. That's great. Thank you. And I should also mention here, I always like to mention we have the E-Channel here today, and we really appreciate them coming out. And look around the room. You see a lot of names. You see you have the American flag, you have WestJet, First Air, Canadian flag, obviously. We have people like Ross's Independent, locally, that are helping us with food afterwards, and Home Depot has helped us a little bit. And so we're always looking for people to help us out. Because we travel all over, and one of our great, great sponsors, of course, is the president of First Air, Bob Davis. And they're really great help to us, along with David Adamy, is it Ronnie? Ronnie Ralph is here from First Air. David Adamy from McAvis. Peter Adamy. But we do have a special guest here. I know he's here somewhere. I call him the father of the Canadian space program, and you know, he gave me a special gift. Where's my special gift? Right there. That crest right there was in space. Mark Garneau took that up on the space shuttle, and he gave it to Mr. Dr. Ken Coulter. Where are you, Dr. Ken? There he is at the very back. He's the father of the Canadian space program. And you might have seen his granddaughter. She was on the video we just saw a few minutes ago. Operators, how are we doing? Another minute or so? We're 11:21. It's just coming up over Ontario. See the little tiny box there with the X? That's the space station ISS area. But this outer white line, that's the one that tells us we can start making contact. The space station is going to be a few thousand miles away when we initiate contact. So it's going to be a bit scratchy, a bit hard to hear, but then it will improve. And it will improve very quickly, and then it will go back down bad again later on. It's just about there. You know what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to go quiet, and I'm going to let the radio operators take over. So let's keep it down. Let's keep it quiet. Good luck to the students of the Space Club. Have fun. Okay, let's keep it down.
Work in the space exploration. Over.
Hi, Emma. I have a lot of friends that work at the Space Center in Johnson Space Center in Houston and also in Russia, but not all of my friends work in the space business because my prior background was I'm a Navy helicopter pilot, so I have a lot of friends in the Navy. Likewise, there's people from all sorts of fields, doctors, teachers, physicists, chemists, all those different types of fields in the astronaut office. Over.
Hi, this is J-Pal. Have you ever used the Canada Orb? Over.
As a matter of fact, I have. I was part of the team that installed the T5 truss. We also flew a couple people around on the end of the arm to do some installation of equipment out on the space station and then help retract the solar array. Over.
Hi, this is Patrick. Have there been any close calls while you're on the space station? Over.
We've had a pretty nice time up here. We haven't had any real close calls. We've had a couple false alarms where essentially the fire drill, we had a fire drill where the fire alarm went off with a sensor. But besides for that, nothing too dangerous has happened up here. Over.
Hi, this is Hunter. Is it difficult to be a female astronaut? Over.
Hi, Hunter. I don't necessarily think so. You know, the spacecraft, the spacesuits, the rocket, they don't know if you're a girl or a boy. So it really makes no difference, and, you know, half, not half, but there's a high percentage. percentage of women in the astronaut office, probably about 20 to 30%. And so you don't really and everybody's pretty professional. So I haven't ever really encountered that is difficult. Over.
Hi, this is Marissa. Can you eat with the helmet on? Over.
Hey, Marissa, I wish we could. You know, when I was out doing my spacewalks, which are about 6 hours long, I didn't have anything to eat, only water inside of the spacesuit. So I was pretty darn hungry when I came back inside, but I had a big breakfast before I went out. Over.
Hi, this is Karen. Are the spacesuits heavy? Over.
Well, the spacesuits are pretty heavy. They're usually about 300 pounds, and then when you add up all the equipment, you can get up to 500 to 700 pounds, depending how big of a piece of equipment you might be carrying while you're out there. But, you know, weight doesn't really matter, because we're sort of in a weightless environment as we're orbiting the Earth, especially in a free fall, so we don't feel the weight of anything. The only time you really feel the weight is when something stops, and then you feel the momentum. Over.
Hi, this is Sam. Can you make gravity on the space station? Over.
As a matter of fact, you can, Sam. We use the concept of centrifugal force to get rid of bubbles, for example, in containers of water, because bubbles aren't very good with pumps. Over.
Hi, this is Lauren. Was it always your dream to be an astronaut? Over.
Hey, Lauren. I saw Neil Armstrong walk on the moon when I was about 5 years old, and I thought, wow, that would be cool, and I really wanted to do that, but I never thought it was a reality. Until I went to test pilot school and ended up meeting John Young, who landed on the moon and told us about having to fly helicopters to learn how to fly the lunar lander. So then I thought to myself, well, what the heck? It's something I've wanted to do, but now, you know, the only one that's telling me no is me, so why not apply? So it wasn't always a lifetime dream, but it was in the back of my mind as something I'd love to do. Over.
Hi, this is Maya. Is it cold in space? Over.
Hi, Maya. I think I know your fooey, Indy and Drew. So, and they're your cousins, as a matter of fact. So, hi to you. It's cold in space, and it's very hot in space, too. Both, there is no atmosphere to protect you while you're out there. So when you're out there in your spacesuit, you really feel the different temperatures as it becomes nighttime and then daytime. Over.
Hi, this is Erica. Do you have a special diet to eat in space? Over.
Well, we have a set menu that comes in about every 10-day cycle. It's no special specific menu, but there's nutritionists who look at it to make sure that we get the appropriate nutrition. We don't have to eat something that somebody puts on a piece of paper every day, but we just have to eat up all that food within 10 days, and then they generally know that we are getting a good nutrition. Over.
Hi, this is Randu. How do you prepare food in space? Over.
Preparing food is pretty easy. You know, you don't have to be a great cook. All you do is stick it in a little oven so it heats up, or rehydrate it with either cold or hot water, or if it comes in a can, then you stick it in a little heater specially made for cans. So there's not that much preparation, but sometimes it's nice to be creative and try to figure out how to combine foods, which is always a little bit difficult in space because stuff floats around. Over.
Hi, this is Emma. Which is more difficult, a day at home or a day at the space station? Over.
Oh, gosh, Emma, I don't know how to answer that one. I don't think either one is that difficult if you really enjoy it. And usually when I'm at home, I'm training for this type of thing, which is a lot of fun coming up in space. And then being up here, it's just every morning I love waking up and looking out the window and looking at our beautiful planet. So I can't even say either one is really difficult. You know, they have their, every day has its little toughness, and, you know, up here I'm not with my dog, which is sort of a bummer, but aside from that, life is pretty good up here. Over.
Hi, this is Nick. When do you think people will travel to Mars? Over.
Hey, Nick, well, I hope it's your generation that's going to do that. We should hopefully be testing the next future space vehicle, a little bit in the next decade. And I hope by the end of the next decade, we'll be sending that spacecraft over to Mars. So I hope you're on it. Over.
Hi, this is Matthew. Have you seen any asteroids or comets? Over.
Hi, Matthew. Well, we're pretty darn close to the Earth. I don't know if you guys know. We're only about 220 miles above the Earth. So you think about that. That's not very far. And that's just a little teeny atmosphere, which is protecting our big planet. And so we really don't see all that much space stuff flying around, and we're pretty close to the Earth. So no, unfortunately, I haven't seen any asteroids or comets. Over.
Hi,
This is Hunter. Besides your husband and dog, what else do you miss from Earth? Over.
So you guys know about my dog, of course, and of course you know I married and miss my husband. But, you know, I miss having a cup of something, maybe a cup of milk that I could dunk a cookie in, for example. We keep drinking, all of our liquids are in a bag, and you drink them with a straw, and that gets old after a while. I just want to hold a cup. Over.
Hi, this is Marissa. Can you smell odor from space? Over.
Marissa, no, you can't really smell. Well, I did this because I was in a spacesuit, so I didn't smell anything outside. And up here, floating around, well, it's a normal atmosphere, so inside the space station, oh yeah, there's the normal smells that you smell in your house, food, some type of different type of material, different people. There's all sorts of odors up here. Over.
Hi, this is Karen. Do you do laundry in space? Over.
Hey, Karen, that's a great question. No, we don't do any laundry in space. We actually have enough clothes and wear our clothes for a couple days, and then wear our clothes to work out, and then throw our clothes away. So we have a constant resupply of clothes that come up. That's probably why you always see us in blue. Over.
Hi, this is Sam. How long would it take to get to Neptune? Over.
Oh, gosh, Sam, I'm not really sure about that. I think it would be quite a long time. I would have to tell you, I'll have to get back to you. Over.
Hi, this is Lauren. Have you ever seen a shooting star and made a wish while in space? Over.
Hi, Lauren. As a matter of fact, I have. We've seen lots of them up here. Over.
ISS.
Say it again. NASA to come back, Steve, or Caroline. You're probably gone.
VA3MGY, do you copy?
No, she'll be gone. Hey, 21 questions. That is very, very good. Well done. Well done. That's really excellent. You guys did a fantastic job. Very smooth, very slick. I just want to say thanks to all our visitors, but mostly I want to say thanks to Mr. Cole Lacasse, to David Stovey, to Art, to Caroline. By the way, there's three radio operators here, people. I don't know if you noticed. There's two obvious ones, but there's another one here. If you look carefully, you'll figure it out. To Greg Milley, Ronnie Ralph, our representative for the Russian Embassy, and I'm not going to pronounce the name because I know I'll mess it up. And, of course, who have I missed? This man over here, Denny. I know that the principal and the coordinating teacher will do a thank you, but do you have something for us? Oh, sorry, I didn't realize that was going to go. Okay, I'll turn that over to Claude, and then I'll turn that back to Mr. Davidson.
Let it go, let it roll right off your shoulders. Don't